T-minus 33. Hospital of Light, Beijing, China. A cold, white light flickered rhythmically above two rows of empty beds in Ward 8B of Beijing's state-of-the-art Hospital of Light, emitting a ticking sound that would have been as irritating as the flickering itself had anyone been around to hear it. The ward was completely closed, as it had been for the better part of a week, ever since the unexpected early return of a crew member from the shelter repair team on New Kerguelen. The suddenness of the man's appearance, preceded only by the briefest of bright flashes, understandably upset other patients in the ward and caused more than a few problems for the medical staff who had to deal with his intimidating presence while pretending not to be terrified themselves. There were then the political issues of who to contact first, chiefly whether to break protocol and go straight to Ding as the man requested, and meetings had been undertaken in the interim to determine how any repeat incident should be handled. In an external political sense, Ding Ziyang's decision to alert William Godfrey within minutes of being informed and to loop President Slater in almost as quickly had been gratefully received by both. In reality, however, the decision was made by the returning man, who explained during his initial phone call from the ward that his fellow crew members, both Chinese and American, had nominated him for the important task of delivering the news about New Kerguelen's seemingly purposeless shelter in trust that the news would reach both countries' leaders as quickly as possible. No one other than Ding knew that he had taken the news to Godfrey before Slater, and there wasn't anything in this beyond the significantly greater rapport the men shared with each other than either enjoyed with Slater. That the supposedly ill crew member was delivered back to a busy hospital had been taken in different ways by different observers, with Ding believing it spoke of an altruistic, if naive, side to the messengers, in the sense that they so clearly wanted to help a man they believed to be ill, but didn't understand that dumping him where other people were already being treated was hardly the most inconspicuous way to go about it. Slater, on the other hand, had openly told Ding that she believed the episode spoke of a gullibility in the messengers that went far beyond altruistic naivete. After all, she insisted, they had taken the crew member's word that he was ill despite a complete lack of symptoms and had then allowed him to return to New Kerguelen with a host of advanced atmospheric analysis equipment, no questions asked. No aliens were actually seen in the hospital, but during his short time back on Earth, the crew member in question revealed that he had been brought home by two junior white-clad messengers from Lisha and Sacco's so-called cast of interpreters. Among countless other small details relating to his lengthy stay on New Kerguelen, the man also revealed that the human crew had developed a very rudimentary form of sign language to cooperate with these messengers and others like them, who were the only caste they regularly engaged with on the distant planet. Late in the Chinese night, Ward 8B was utterly deserted. Until, that was, it wasn't. No one was around to see the flash, but the sound of 18 American and Chinese engineers calling for assistance reverberated down the gargantuan hospital's hallway. Within 30 seconds, the lights were on, and a young nurse, first to reach the incredible scene, felt her jaw hit the floor as she realized who and what she was looking at. "Is everyone okay?" she asked, frantically scanning for injuries or signs of whatever kind of travel sickness one might experience from the kind of journeys the messengers alone were capable of providing. "What do you need?" A man stepped forward from the pack, immediately familiar to the nurse from the videos she had seen of his initial return just 1 week earlier. He had but one request. "Ding.